Well, good morning again, Brighton Heights. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, I said that I'd give you a little bit more information about who I am, but I have to say, because I say it every single week, and I'll continue to say it, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. Obviously, this side of heaven, there's no place I'd rather be. So thank you so much for joining us here this morning. As you know, Bridge City Church is one church in four locations. So today is what we call Campus Pastor Exchange Day. So Pastor Ben and his wife Melanie are at the White Oak campus right now, and Pastor Eric is in North Braddock, and Pastor John, our North Braddock campus pastor, is in Murraysville. So we all switched around this week, so get on the website and you can listen to all the messages. But I'm just so honored and privileged to be able to share a stage with Pastor Ben. I'm so thankful for who he is. He and Melanie both. So if you could do me a favor, we're just gonna have more interaction here today. If you have Pastor Ben or Melanie's phone number and you have your cell phone, I'm giving you permission to get your phone out and just send them a text, send them an email, send them a message, let them know how thankful you are for them and who they are and what they've done. And I'll make sure that Nate cuts this portion out of the recording so that when Pastor Ben listens to it, he's like, oh, he told him to do that. All right, but listen, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for what you've already done. And I just pray right now for everything that you are going to do. Lord, I am privileged and honored and humbled to be able to share your word. And God, I pray that your word would go upon ears that aren't just ready to listen, but hearts that are ready to walk out the word. God, we pray this all in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So a little bit more about me. Obviously, Doug mentioned my wife, Rachel's here. My son, Lennon, he's six. He's downstairs. But I want you to know, if you've never heard me preach before, I love audience participation. So that means that if I ask a question, I expect an answer. You go with that?
Yes.
Okay. You kinda. Okay. Okay. How many of you are in church this morning? Raise your hand. Okay. If you're unsure, if you're in church this morning, you are. You're at the Brighton Heights campus of Bridge City Church. But we'll get better at the audience participation throughout our time. But as we were worshiping this morning, a verse just came to my heart, and God just gave me a revelation about the verse that I've heard 1,000 times. As a matter of fact, I heard it yesterday. But it's in Matthew 11, and starting in verse 28. And you've probably heard it before, and it's, you know, come to me, all who are weary and tired, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke, because it is light. And most of the time, you hear this verse at a funeral. And I was actually at a funeral yesterday. My wife's grandfather passed away. And you hear this verse, and you're like, that's a funeral verse. But it's not. It's an everyday verse for his sons and daughters. He's saying, come to me. Whenever you're tired, whenever you're feeling weak, whenever you're feeling like you just need something, come to me. It's not, hey, when you're dead, you can finally get some rest. No, it's when you're alive. You're come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you so much joy that you can't even fathom. So it's my prayer that we don't wait until we pass away to realize that we don't have to be weary. It's my prayer that we don't have to wait until we go home to be with Jesus to finally get some rest. Now, I'm not talking about a nap. Now, I'm all for sometimes the best thing you could do for the kingdom of God is take a nap. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. That's one of my hobbies. I love naps. I'm really good at naps. My wife, on the other hand, she hates naps. She's not good at them. She thinks they're a waste of time. But I love them. Okay? So listen, Jesus is saying, come to me. If you're weary, if you're tired, I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke. Work with me. It's light. So That's extra. That's free of charge. It's not extra. That's not even on my notes. But I want you to have that this morning. Amen? All right, I'm losing some amens. I got a lot over here, but the audience participation is waning. It's weird. All right, so the message today is all about having a heavenly mindset. And this mindset is something that we often think about after the fact. How many of you set an alarm this morning to get up? Okay, how many of you just have like an eternal clock, you get up at normal time every single day? One day I'll have one of those. I don't have one of those right now, but one day I will. Some of you set reminders throughout the day that you need to do this or you need to do that. Some of you are going to picnics today, so you already set your crock pot for whatever dish is cooking at home. I was up smoking meats all night for the most part, so 16 hours for a pork shoulder, and believe me, I set the temperature. I set my alarm to wake me up at 4 a.m. in case I fell asleep, and I did, and it didn't wake me up. It woke Rachel up. Okay, but we set some things. But so many times, we forget to set our mind. We just allow for that to accidentally happen. So today, we're going to do something that is completely earth-shattering. You ready? See, audience participants. Oh. Nobody's ready, Doug. Shut the lights off, pack up shop, we're done. Nobody's ready for it. Here we go. Earth-shattering news. If you're ready, say yes.
Yes.
We're going to read the Bible.
Yes.
Verse by verse. I'm not going to give you all these crazy points or my opinions or any. We're going to read the Bible. God tells us what to do. He tells us how to set our mind. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above. Huh. Where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not earthly things. Wow. That sounds like a really good idea. We know how to set our alarm clock. We know how to set our phones to do things. We know how to set reminders. We know how to set our crock pot. I know how to set my smoker. I know how to set the thermometer to tell me that things don't get overcooked. But so many times we've heard this verse or somebody's told us it, and we forget, and we set our minds on earthly things instead of the things of God. What are the earthly things? Everything except Him. Well, wait a second. There's things that are good. Yes, they are, but if it comes before Him and what He's calling you to do and what He's said about you and what He's said about your family and your marriage and your workplace, and all those things are supposed to be put to the side. Set those aside and focus your mind and your heart on Him. You know, Paul's writing here and he's encouraging us to explore what it means to set your mind on the things above, and it's supposed to enable us to experience the true joy that God wants to lavish upon us. Have you ever seen a father lavish upon his children? Like the joy that not only the children get to experience, but the joy that is in the father's eyes? That's what God wants to do for us all the days of our lives. If we remember to set our minds and our hearts on Him. If you don't set your alarm clock, you're going to sleep in. At least I am. Remember, naps are my hobby. I could sleep and sleep. Because I like it. I need some rest. You work hard, you need some rest. I need an alarm. I need to remember to set my mind. Let's go to verse 3. For you died. Who died?
Me.
You. Me. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's not wait until we physically die to fully experience the joy that comes from knowing that we are hidden in Christ. What does that mean? I don't know about you, but before Christ, I had some mindsets that I needed to get rid of. I had some earthly mindsets. The Mon Valley spirit, I like to call it. You're never going to amount to anything. You got to constantly keep up with the Joneses. Are there any Joneses here? No? Okay. I've only met one. I was like, I've been keeping up with you my whole life till I met Jesus. But I want to, where's it? Here, give me that tissue box. Does anybody have a pen? Thanks, Leon. You're the best. Here we go. This is Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus is the Kleenex box.
Jesus is the Kleenex box.
You're the pen. You can say you're the pen. That's fun. Good. You're the pen.
You're the pen.
All right. And God is looking. Here we go. God doesn't even see you anymore. When he looks at you, he sees his son. He sees Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is still sitting at the right hand of the Father, pleading your case, pleading my case. As long as we constantly have our minds and our hearts set on him, guess what? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father saying, hey, listen, he's chasing after me, Dad. She really has her heart devoted after us, Dad. Continue to lavish upon them, Dad. He doesn't even see you anymore. Your old life is gone, and now you're a tissue box. Thank goodness. Oh, can you give Leanne her pen back? She's going to need it. Lots of great notes. Let's keep going. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Listen, I really like whenever it says the joy of God is going to be lavished upon you, the love of God, the peace of God, the presence of God. I do not like when a verse ends with the wrath of God is coming. I just don't. But there's a lot of things before that statement that can change to cause that to not happen. God gives us a plan, a step-by-step, hey, do this and this won't happen. What do you have to do? Put those things to death. Kill them. Listen, I don't like spiders. Is there anyone here that does like spiders? You like? Okay, you answered before the question was full. That was like on Family Feud whenever they answer the question before Steve Harvey gets it out and there's like, what? Okay, I'll ask it again. Does anyone in here like spiders? Okay, one person. I'm not going to point them out because you're all going to be like, what? Okay, I don't like spiders at all. I married a woman who does not like spiders at all. We're equally yoked, okay? When I see a spider, I don't just go over to it and like, hey, bud, I don't like you, and I'm gonna take care of you and get. I'm gonna dispose of you nicely. I kill it. with all size 16 of my shoe. And if I don't have my shoes on, I go get something that is going to completely annihilate that spider. Okay? Put any insect in this statement. I don't like any of them. None of them. Neither does Rachel. Rachel doesn't want me to just coddle the spider, protect the spider, or push the spider under the rug and hope it doesn't come out anymore. This is the same thing with everything that keeps us separate from God or draws us farther away. Put it to death. Kill it. Oh, I'll deal with that problem soon. It's not affecting anybody else. It's just affecting me. Kill it. I don't know what it is that you need to kill, but if you need help killing it, I know some murderers. Please don't leave here today and say, hey, the pastor that preached at Brighton Heights today said he knows some murder. I know some spiritual killers, okay? They're called connection group leaders. They're called spiritual mothers and fathers. They're called preachers. Guess who the best preacher is you're ever going to hear? No, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know who said it, but thank you. That's a lie. Tell the truth in church. The best preacher you're ever going to hear is you. Because faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And you need to speak the Word of God over your life. Amen. The best preacher you're ever going to hear is you. Because you always have your ear. Let's keep going. Now that we all have murder plans. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Here we go. It's about to get real. The other stuff, like those are the big things. Now here's the little itty-bitty spiders. Those ones are like, oh, they're not going to hurt me. No, they all are bad. Anger. Rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices, and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Uh-oh. You mean I can't get angry anymore whenever somebody doesn't merge correctly? You all know what that's like. I mean, you guys are on the best side of town, as Dougie put it. I'll agree. South Hills are horrible, so. Anyways. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Rid yourselves of these. Constantly making sure you're getting rid of it. That you're recognizing that you need to get rid of it. It's like a closet or a garage or a basement. These things start to gather up. Right before one of my surgeries, Rachel was out for something, extended period of time, like a worship event or some sort of meeting. And Lennon and I got this amazing idea that we were going to clean the basement and completely empty it out and prep it that we were going to be able to like sand the floors and paint them. Then I had another surgery after the fact. That empty basement, Lennon has now taken it over, and it is full of a table that has a train on it. It has bikes in it now. Like, the basement is now full again. Every once in a while, you need to go through and rid yourself of things that you've gathered again. Maybe your language is starting to slip. You used to not swear. Now it's okay again. I used to have a rough mouth in traffic. This is when I first met Rachel when we were driving. And I used to call a lot of people certain names when I was driving. And then I stopped calling them that. And I started calling them sporting goods. You'll catch it. You'll catch it. You'll think about it. Okay? And now I stopped even saying that because of what it implies. You get what I'm saying? New levels. Okay? You got to go to new levels every time. Okay? God will call you to a new level. Don't lie to each other. What's the biggest lie Christians tell? I'm good. We tell that one every single day. Every time how are you doing? I'm good. Try to tell the truth once. It's really fun to see what people's faces look like. How are you doing? Not good. Well, have a great day. I'll see you later. Right? People just keep it moving. But that's how you tell the real ones. You know who a real one is? Doug. Doug's a real one. Because I've told Doug sometimes, hey, I'm not doing good. Instantly, I get a text message or a phone call. And then guess who else gets a text message or a phone call? Rachel from Leanne. Be honest. Because if you're not honest, the enemy will seize that opportunity and then begin to lie to you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody's helping you. Nobody loves you. Be honest and put on your new self. Listen, whenever we put this on, people know it. Like, I knew what I was going to wear today. And then I put that on. And I don't plan on taking it off. So way, 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 way later. Whatever you choose to put on, allow for it to be seen. Allow for others to notice. Allow for others to notice that your life is changing. Hey, I notice you don't get as angry as you used to. Yeah, it's a new thing I'm trying. God's really helping me out. Hey, I notice you don't swear anymore. Yeah, I'm just really trying to honor God with my language. Hey, you used to tell some really racy jokes. Yeah, those were funny back in the day, but not anymore to me. Be honest about what is happening. God is changing you from the inside out. Let's keep going. Therefore, as God's chosen people and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Whenever people see that you are changing and becoming more and more like Jesus every day, that sanctification process, then you get to talk to them, and then they get to see the compassion that you wear, the kindness that you wear, the humility that you wear, the gentleness and the patience. And guess what? All of those things will draw people closer to the kingdom. It doesn't say clothe yourselves in knowing how to quote every single verse in the Bible, King James Version. That's great. I'm jealous of Pastor John for being able to do that. When I'm with him, I don't need to search. I just say, hey, what verse is this? He's like, Doug, am I right? He'll be like, what translation do you want? He's brilliant. But the thing that are going to draw people into the kingdom is when they see what you're wearing. Are you compassionate? Are you kind? Are you loving? Are you gentle? And are you humble about it?
Yes.
Bear with one another. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That statement, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Guess what? The Lord didn't make you jump through any hoops. He just made you jump into his arms. The Lord didn't make you do, hey, I'll forgive you if. All evil, hey, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That's right. I didn't need it. If it would have landed though, Doug, we would have told everybody. Would have never happened again. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't put stipulations on his forgiveness. Don't put stipulations on other people. So you know that person that you need to forgive. You know that person that you need to reach out to that you haven't reached out to in a long time. Hey, you know that family member that's going to be at the picnic today that you haven't talked to. Forgive them as Christ forgave you. And you may be like, well, they don't know Jesus. Show them. You may be the only Bible they ever read. Make sure they're reading a good verse. One that will impact them and they will remember. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's like the perfect accessory. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Listen, so many times, you know, we're chasing after the wrong thing. The pursuit of happiness. Right? That's the American dream, the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is an emotion. And happiness is a lie. Emotions lie. And we put emotion on things that don't necessarily have to have emotion sometimes. You do it, right? You get a text message that somebody sent you, and you put emotion on it, and that emotion wasn't on it. Don't send me a text message without an emoji, or else I'm putting like, why'd they say it so mean? No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, put some emojis in the text. They're way more fun that way. I know Doug can't do that because he uses an Android, but. Be thankful every single day of your life for the peace you get to walk in. And you may be thinking, I'm not walking in peace. Go back to verse 1 of Colossians 3. Set your mind on him, set your heart on him, and peace is going to be the result. It works. His promises don't return void. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do,
whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Have you caught that throughout Colossians 3, there's lots of one another's? There's lots of one another's. Forgive one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. Care for one another. Admit, it sounds like Colossians 3 is a group. It sounds like they were really smart and they got a part of a group. If only we would have thought to put group things on your seats. Oh, for you to sign up to be a part of a group. That would have been, oh, we did. Hold those up for me. Listen, Pastor Ben will be really, really nice and warm and cuddly, and he will invite you to be a part of a connection group. I'm not going to be here next week, so I'm going to tell you to. Do it. It's not like hey, this is a good idea. The first thing Jesus did when he started his ministry was he got himself a small group. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. And the first thing that the enemy's going to say is, don't go. You just signed up for that group because Pastor Nick was fun. And he made you hold up that card. You don't have to actually go. I don't want you to sign up to attend a connection group. I want you to sign up to be a part. I don't want you to sign up to be a consumer of a connection group. I want you to sign up to be a contributor to one. Because listen, there's going to be days that the group needs you, and there's going to be days that you need the group. And you know how I know that? Because you're supposed to be honest. I've been leading groups for 15 years. And as a group leader, sometimes I should be like, hey guys, I ain't got it tonight. I need you. Honesty is the best policy. Second Corinthians, we're going to land the plane. I've enjoyed flying with you all today. Please keep your seatbelts fastened until the light. What if we actually had that? What if we had that, church, like you're not allowed to stand until we hit the button? That's a good idea. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mom was Roman Catholic. My dad was Serbian Orthodox. So I went to a Serbian Orthodox church growing up, which is like Catholicism on steroids. And my uncle and his family were Christians. And my dad always would say, if he is a born-again Christian, I'd hate to meet the devil. And it painted this picture of Christianity in my mind at such a young age, and I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea, and I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't know Christ. All I knew about Christ and his church were what people told me, and I didn't learn for myself. Oh, how differently I know him now. Oh, how differently I know my uncle now. I started coming to church because of a girl. A lot of us in this room have that in common. Right, Doug? Second week I came to church was because of a girl. Third week, because I met Jesus in a real, real way. Oh, how differently we know him now. And I don't know where you're at with your walk. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've never had an opportunity to receive him as your Lord and Savior, to cross the bridge to life, we say. I want today to be your day. At 11:12 a.m. in Brighton Heights, Pennsylvania. And listen, this isn't supposed to be a private moment. It's supposed to be public, like a celebratory thing. The Bible tells us that the heavens rejoice when one comes home. So we want to rejoice with you. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what better moment than now? Because you're not promised tomorrow. Matter of fact, you're not promised this afternoon. There are people that are ready to pray with you and encourage you and empower you and equip you to walk out this life getting closer to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do. And that's just slip your hand up to Jesus and say, that's me. I don't have that day, that time, that moment, that place where I've repented of my past, received the forgiveness of the cross, and called upon him as Lord. If I'm speaking to you, just slip your hand up. Maybe you've returned the gift and you want to rededicate your life to him today. Just slip your hand up. Lord, we thank you for verse 17 that says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Thank you for new lives in this room. Thank you for who you are and who we get to be. Lord, maybe someone's still wrestling with the idea of receiving you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that they would come up at the end to receive prayer. Or they checked it on their box that they want to make you the forgiver of their past, leader in their future. Lord, help us today to continue to set our minds upon you, to set our hearts upon you. In Jesus' glorious name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.